Hello there, everyone. It's an honor for me to be sharing with you God's Word again. Nearly a month since I last preached. Mas maganda sana po kung magkakasama tayo. I mean, as we usually gather in our sanctuary and just enjoy each other's fellowship. But this is where God's providence has taken all of us, and so I'm just grateful to be home. And I hope you're all doing well. And alam po ninyo lahat that nakakarating ko lang po galing US. And I went there to attend two conferences, the TMAI, or the Master's Academy International Conference, and the Shepherd's Conference, to learn and to just be more equipped. And I went there a week earlier. I left the Philippines February 27 po, so that I would be able to adjust to the time zone para po pagdating ng conferences, I would not be jet lagging and would be more attentive and get the most out of the sessions. And it was a great learning experience for me. Imagine po listening to the likes of John MacArthur, Paul Washer, and great men of God who are faithful to God's Word. So it was very encouraging for me. It was, I've been to three Shepherd's Conference already. I think this by far has been the best when it comes to the preaching. Talagang sobra po ang, it made me be more confident in God's Word all the more. It was very encouraging to see old friends and to be making new ones. So yung first 2 weeks po talaga ng stay ko was really an encouragement. So after 2 weeks in California, I then proceeded to going to Alaska to visit the church who graciously paid for my airfare. So I was scheduled to preach there the second week of March, and then afterwards I would be leaving for Texas to preach there at another church in Alamo. So while I was getting ready to preach, naglabas po ng order ang CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, prohibiting social gathering for more than 250 people. Then they lowered it down to 100 people. So we had no choice but to do a live stream. It was my first time to do a live stream. There were a handful in the sanctuary the Sunday that I preached in the Alaska church. Less than 10 lang po siguro. And then we arranged the seats in such a way that there will be social distancing. And it went well with God's grace. So I was enjoying my last few days in Alaska, and I was getting ready for the flight to Texas to preach there. Hanggang nakatanggap po ako ng text message from the people from Texas giving me an option if I would still go or not, because they were saying there was a CDC order again, and they were so concerned about me being exposed to a lot of people, kasi that's gonna be another three airports papuntang Alaska. So to cut the long story short, we decided, and I was consulting with my wife, to forgo yung pagpunta sa Texas. And I was encouraged to stay one more week sa Alaska, because alam niyo po yung Alaska, because it being so large and because of the massive land area, was a safe place to be in. I think Alaska was one of the last few states na nagkaroon po ng coronavirus, and because of the large land area nga po, it made me feel safe from the virus. Through these, I've been constantly communicating with my family. Natutulog po ako ng gabing-gabi na para mag-good morning sa kanila. And I would wake up early in the morning to say good night. During this time na nag-intensify yung coronavirus scare, I was so worried about my family kasi alam po ninyo, ang asawa ko po ay may asthma, and I learned na and I'm experiencing it now. I'm back. Na mainit daw sa Pilipinas, and heat has been one of the triggers of asthma, and she has been stressing out. Kasi imagine, she's the one in charge of the family, not only to take care of my 12-year-old daughter, mayroon din po kaming kasamang siya, may kasama siyang dalawang senior citizens, yung nanay niya and yung kanyang tita. So, and that is amidst all the scare sa corona, nagkaroon ng lockdown or community quarantine. And I understand that she was really being pressured, and that made her all the more feel the effects of the heat and then asthma attack. Tapos, all throughout, as I've mentioned in some of my updates, ang schedule ko po pauwi is 27. Na-move po yung flight ko ng Philippine Airlines from the 27th pa rin to from midday to later in the 27th gabi na. So I said, okay lang. Then, a few days, I think it was just 2 days before I would leave Alaska papuntang California, I got an email early in the morning. At hapon na sa Pilipinas, that my flight got canceled. So, wala kaming choice kasi na-cancel na. So, we were trying to rebook the flight, pero ang hirap. We were trying to book another flight, pero sobrang struggle po. And so, I just learned na ganun nga nangyayari. I was so worried about my own safety. I was worried about my wife's and my family's safety. Dahil nga po sa community quarantine, and then they need to stay indoors. And tas sa kalagitnaan ng ito, nasira pa yung isa namin yung gripo sa likod. So, yung timing has been like intensifying and has been causing more stress to my wife. At lalo siyang nagkaroon ng asthma attack. And I can just speak casually about it now. Pero going back, mga kapatid, it was so hard for me. It was so difficult for me. I understand. Imagine po ninyo na hiwalay ako sa family ko. And I was missing them already. Tapos, nalaman ko that nagkaroon ng quarantine. And my wife doesn't know how to drive. And she's confined now to the house. She is in charge of everything. She's in charge of 3 people in the household. Tapos nagkaroon ng faucet breakdown. Tapos I was actually asking, biglang na cancel pa yung flight ko. I mean, have you had those times wherein from one event to another, papatong-patong, tapos you feel so overwhelmed? Again, I can just casually speak about it. Pero during those times, friends, that's when I really broke down in tears. I was weeping to the Lord. I poured my heart out. And kasi overwhelmed po ako sa situation eh. Wala. I felt so helpless. I felt so hopeless. No. I think, you know what, Amy? I mean, you had those situations, haven't you? Naramdaman niyo na rin yung mga ganong klaseng pressure. In fact, you may be there right now. You may be going through that situation right now. I mean, tanggalin yung coronavirus. I think some of us are going through some trying times. Some of you are going through some financial struggles. Some of you siguro nawalan ng trabaho or talagang nag-aarap ng trabaho pero wala akong trabaho. Perhaps you are struggling with your marriage. And lovingly, I would just say this. So perhaps your spouse left you. It's a struggle for you. Tapos, maybe you are struggling with having kids and you're worried about them if they're indeed serious about their faith. Maybe you have your own physical infirmities, like my wife who had asthma. Maybe you're struggling with a specific sin. And all that amplified by the lockdown and because of the coronavirus. Maybe you're up to your neck and you can't seem to go on. Friends, let us allow our troubled hearts to be ministered to by Psalm 46. Our message today will be coming from Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles, kindly grab them and open your Bibles to Psalm 46. I'll be reading from the ESV version. Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. The word of the Lord. Pray po tayo and ask the Lord for help as we ponder upon this great, great section of Scripture. Oh, loving God, we come before you with, in all honesty, that we are concerned about what's happening around us, not just the Philippines, Lord, but all over the world. We are bombarded with news about like the growing number of those who are affected by the coronavirus, growing number of those who are getting killed by it. And so in you, Lord, alone, in you alone, in your word alone, Lord, we rest. Kindly comfort us, O God, in these trying times. Allow us, Lord, to be embraced and to be enveloped by your truth. Your word is truth. Preach to our troubled hearts and preach, Lord, to our hearts, that we may, just like this, the psalmist, have confidence in you as our refuge, as our strength, as our fortress. We thank you again for the gift of technology, that we can be gathered in spirit and in heart and to ponder upon your great, great good news. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving in the name of, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So friends, the psalm before us has been cherished by many believers. Maraming gusto itong psalm na ito. In fact, it was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Yes, when we hear about Martin Luther, we associate him with the Book of Romans because of the Reformation. But you need to understand, friends, aside from the study of his of the Book of Romans, he was also very much ministered to by the Book of Psalms, and among many others, these two books were greatly used by God for him to be saved. We need to be informed, friends, that Luther taught on the Psalms for many years, and he loved them so much. In fact, kung alam po niyo yung hymn na "Mighty Fortress Is Our God," that was written by Martin Luther, and it is based on this psalm, his favorite psalms. During the Reformation, Luther faced oppositions. He faced threats, assaults, and a lot of fear. He had to live in a hiding as a knight in a castle for over a year to escape the immediate threat of death. When he was excommunicated, he was like a dead man walking. Everybody was going after him. And so it was a dark and dangerous period for him in his life. And during the struggle, he would often go to his friend and co-worker Philip Melanchthon. When faced with such fearful times, he would say, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm and let them do their worst." Luther would say, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully, miraculously preserves and defends his church and his words against the gates of hell, against the relentless hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." You see, this has been a psalm that's close to Martin Luther's heart. Now, we are not certain as to what the occasion was when this psalm was written. It's very clear in just merely reading the psalm that it was written during difficult times, when everything seems helpless and hopeless, when the nation Israel was scared to the core, and they were overwhelmed with great opposition and oppression, and then God rescued them. Most scholars say that this was written not long after the events of 2 Kings 18, when Hezekiah was king and Israel was being attacked by the Assyrians. You see, the Assyrians was a mighty, mighty conquering nation then. After mowing down the ten tribes of the northern kingdom, Israel, Jerusalem, as one city after another fell into the army 185,000 strong, Judah has become desperate, and their king Hezekiah was so scared. Imagine, friends, having a great army surrounding you, having heard of the northern kingdom fall into this mighty army, and then being surrounded by 185,000 men, and then is Sennacherib sending someone outside the walls of Jerusalem to taunt you, calling you to give up, and just to belittle your army? And then he would say with loud voice to the hearing of everyone in the kingdom, "Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and the city will not be given into the land of the king of Assyria.'" And he was saying, "None of the gods of those nations, Samaria, Hamath, Arpad, Sepharvaim, and the others, none of their gods was able to handle the hand of the Assyrians. Paano pa yung Diyos nyo?" And so Hezekiah was so fearful. And imagine your king being fearful, the rest of the people were afraid. And so Hezekiah, in total abandon, prayed to the Lord and asked, "Now, O Lord our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are alone, O Lord our God." 2 Kings 19:19. And the Lord answered, In a very incredible fashion, may I add, when the Lord sent the angels of the Lord to move that night, and the following day, 185,000 Assyrian men were dead. So it was believed to be written right after that, in that context, wherein Israel was facing a mighty army and they felt so helpless. Now, if you look at your Bibles, you see a superscription there to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. You need to understand, friends, that was not an afterthought. It was not added by an editor. It was part of the inspired revelation. And according to the superscription, this was addressed to the choir master of the sons of Korah. And these people, they are a part of a group of Levite worship leaders that were tasked to lead the singing in their congregational worship. Notice as well that it reads according to Alamoth, or it says that this psalm was set to Alamoth. What does that mean? The word alamos is derived from the Hebrew noun alma, a term meaning maiden or a young woman. So some were thinking that it's possible that this song was composed for soprano voices or for an all women choir. Getting, no? But as far as we know, the place of worship back in the days of the Psalms had no such choir. They had no all-female choir. In fact, if you go turn your Bibles from 4th Psalm to go back a bit and go to 1 Chronicles 15 to understand what this means to set alamo, 1 Chronicles 15, we are given a clue what this means. Look at verse 20. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 20. He mentions a lot of names there. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jethiel, Uni, Eliah, Maaseiah, and Benaiah were to play harps according to alamo. It reads that harps were tuned to alamo. Now, the marginal reference in the New American Standard Bible says harps of maiden-like tones. So, quite likely, this song was to be played on a soprano-like or high-pitched instrument. Perhaps this was to make the psalm unique and easily remembered, much many songs that we're familiar with, especially, like, for example, had the Handel's Messiah. When you hear the first few notes, ba 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 da, for unto us a child is born, you know definitely well that this is coming from the work of Handel, the Messiah. So it's telling us that it needs to be in a distinct tune to be remembered. This song was to be perpetually remembered, right? So and look at, as we are looking at the structure of this psalm, you notice any repeated words or phrases? You see from verse 3, 7, 11, a repeated word is Selah. It appears three times. Now we're not going to be dogmatic about what this Selah is, but most commentators take this as a musical notation. Since this is a song, a musical notation, a musical marker indicating a pause, encouraging everyone who's singing and everyone hearing this song to quietly reflect after every stanza. So we have three stanzas, right? And before the singers resume to the following stanza, they need to be at a pause to reflect on the truths of what was said in the stanza before. Notice as well that in verse 7, in verse 11, a phrase was mentioned twice. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Telling us this is an important theme in this psalm. Notice as well how this psalm begins and ends. It starts with saying God is our refuge and ends at saying that God being our fortress. So the emphatic theme of this song that has three stanzas is that God is our refuge. He is our shelter in times of trouble. That He is our protection. That He is our help. And this psalm that we are looking at is going to give us three things that we should remember when trouble comes. Are you distressed, friends? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you weary? Has this global pandemic been too much for you? I understand. Remember, I was on my knees crying to God because I was so overwhelmed. Listen, the sons of Korah wants you and me to remember three things when trouble comes our way. In the first stanza, verse 1 to 3, We need to remember God is our refuge, therefore we should not fear. God is our refuge, therefore we should not fear. In verse 4 to 7, in the second stanza, we are to remember that God is with us, therefore we are not to be shaken. God is with us, therefore we are not to be shaken. In the last stanza, when trouble comes our way, we need to remember God is sovereign. Therefore, we are not to strive but to be still. God is sovereign, therefore we are not to strive but to be still. Three things that we ought to remember when trouble comes our way: God's protection, God's presence, and God's providence. Let's now look at the first stanza. Look at verse 1, will you? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, that word refuge means protection, a protection in times of distress. But not only protection, but it also conveys the idea of a protection when we are totally helpless, when we are totally hopeless, when we are totally unable, when we cannot protect ourselves. Have you ever had those times, friends? In fact, are you in that situation right now? Doesn't this describe what we're going through right now? Diba? As I shared with you in one of our devotions, I got back from Alaska to California on the 24th. Then I got a call saying, hey, may ticket ka na. Ang alis mo 25 ng madaling araw. So, kailangan pagpaspas, umalis para maka uwi ka agad. And so, as I was traveling, I was consistent with wearing a face mask. Pagpunta pa nga lang po sa America, naka-face mask na ako. I had my hand sanitizer with me. Pag walang pagkakataong magugas ng kamay, I would always have my hand sanitizer with me and to keep my hands clean. I was cautious not to touch my face. Very conscious din po ako na magkaroon ng good distance from others. Pero alam niyo po, my flight from LA to Japan, it was packed. And friends, when you board the plane there was no social distancing at all. And because I was so tired, most of the time spent in the flight from LA to Japan, I was asleep. And I was just thinking, no, what if tutulog na tulog ako, tapos dahil nga punong-puno yung aeroplano, the person next to me, he was Japanese and he wasn't wearing a face mask, nakatulog din ng malalim, tapos he leaned on my shoulders, and tapos tulula ako pa, no? Hindi naman nangyari yun, but you get what I'm trying to convey. As much as I want to protect myself, I couldn't fully do so. Maliit itong virus, and what are the chances na may makalusot siya, like magkakadikit, right? So I was praying for God to protect me. That is the picture there, friends. God is protection. He is our refuge when we cannot protect ourselves. The psalmist goes on to say, not only is God our refuge, he said, God is our refuge and strength. Not only is this talking about that God is powerful to protect us, and it has the strength to protect us and care for us, but it also conveys that he is the source of power and strength. He enables us, he empowers us as we go through life's difficulties. Psalm 28 verse 7 tells us of the same idea. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. So, in verse 1 alone, we are being reminded that when trouble comes, and I'd like to emphasize, friends, when, not if. Because troubles will come our way. We live in a fallen world. We still are in the flesh. and struggles and troubles will come our way. But when they do, God is our protection and the source of strength in the midst of trouble. And the end of verse 1 states, a very present help in trouble. This is a wonderful phrase. It is saying that God is a help in trouble, which is found very much, greatly, exceedingly. The idea there is God's help is very found. It's exceedingly found, easily accessible. That's why in our text it is rendered in English as very present. God, who is our refuge, who is our strength, is easily accessible. Protection is not far. Empowerment is readily accessible for you and me. It has an idea of an ongoing protection that when trial comes, He is ready to be found. He's near. He's present. In those times of distress, in those times when you're overwhelmed, in those times when you wanted to cry out, where is God? Is He even near? Kagaya po na share ko. I've never been in so many flights in almost just one and a half days. At pagod na pagod po ako. And looking back, God was there to protect me. God was my strength. The psalmist says, God is very present. He never leaves nor forsakes. And friends, as God's child, you don't need to wonder if God is even listening, although there are times that we feel that He's not. But the objective truth, friends, what this wonderful psalm is telling us, that He is very present. And it is this truth that produces faith. And it is this truth that produces strength in times of distress. And because of that, listen now to the boldness, to the faith, to the strength and the conviction that the psalmist have. Can you look at verse 2 and 3? God is our refuge, verse 1, and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. That's a very interesting picture that the psalmist is painting for us. And the tense here, friends, in the Hebrew, denotes something that has not happened yet, or a hypothetical situation. And the writer paints for us extreme natural conditions, extreme natural disaster. Look at verse 2 again. Though the earth gives way, some translation says, though the earth changes, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. This is a picture of a violent removal, extreme movement. What calamity can change the landscapes of the earth and can move the mountains to fall into the sea? It's talking about a massive earthquake, diba? In our context, we might consider it's pointing to the big one. Maybe even bigger than the big one. Kasi to a Jew, a mountain is immovable. But it says here that the mountains be moved. It may be even bigger than the big one, to the point that mountains will crumble and fall into the sea. To the point that it would change how the earth looks like. This is a great earthquake. A massive earthquake. As if this is not enough, the writer goes on to expand this picture. Look at verse 3. Though its waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. What do we see here? After the massive earthquake, what comes next? A tsunami. Waters roar and foam. And it says, actually, it's so violent that if the rest of the remaining mountains can have emotions, they will be scared. They will be terrified as the tide gets bigger and bigger, and as it approaches faster and faster, this is total chaos, friends. What we have here in the first stanza is that the psalmist is showing us the scariest possible natural disaster. Ano yung kinakatakutan nyo na mangyari? Ako, I'm scared of earthquakes. We don't have tsunamis here. Well, why is the psalmist showing us this? For what? Ba't kaya? To show the great confidence that he has in God. In fact, in the original language, it does not read, though the mountains, though its waters. No, literally it actually reads, let them. Let the earth give way. Let the mountains be moved. Let the waters roar and foam. We will not fear. And why wouldn't they? Because God is our refuge. What great faith, diba? What great faith. And as we come to that musical marker, as we come to that pause, Selah, let us reflect on this truth, friends. Do we have this confidence? Are we unshaken by life's difficulties? And let me just say this, friends. The issue here is not whether God is refuge and strength. Because he is. The issue is whether you go to him in times of trouble. Do you run to him for protection, for refuge, for strength? Or do we resort to find comfort and refuge in the world? When trouble comes your way, do you easily go to drinking? Perhaps smoking, perhaps vices, perhaps to womanizing. Do we go to God first as our refuge? Do we go to him for strength? Friends, I don't want to project a facade that I have a robust faith. I shared with you. I broke down in tears. When I was so helpless, when I can't do anything. Now, when I realized that I might be stuck in the States with a corona scare, and I'm thinking of my family. I'm thinking of my wife having asthma attack, and I couldn't help her. This is preaching to the heart. This is preaching to self. May we, dear ones, remember God is our refuge, one who is our ever-present help. Therefore, we are not to fear. This beautiful song continues and it leads us to the second stanza, leads us to the second thing that we need to remember when trouble comes our way. And that is, God is with us, therefore we are not to be shaken. Kindly look at verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Did you see the contrast there? Did you see the shift? What did we just see in verses 2 and 3? Earthquakes, tsunamis, chaos, great turbulences, massive natural disaster. And then here in verse 4, we're given a picture of peace, tranquility, calmness. A peaceful stream flowing through Jerusalem. From deafening noise and chaos to peace and calm. Some take it as just a word picture because they say there's no river that flows through Jerusalem. Yet we know in the time of Hezekiah when they were under siege, he actually built a tunnel, a canal that would enter the city for water. But regardless of that, why the great contrast? Why the obvious change of scenery? Verse 5 gives us the answer. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Why is there calmness? Why is there peace in the midst of chaos? Because God is there. He is in the midst of her. He protects her. And she shall not be moved. Friends, the world is in total chaos. Of all people, we ought not to be moved. Why? Because God is with us. He lives in us. Right? He is our life. And that word moved, in verse 5, is the same word used in verse 2. The mountains are being moved, but since God is with her, the city shall not be moved. It is unshaken. It will not be destroyed. Because God is there. Wonderful thought. Diba? Look at verse 5 and 6. As it gives us a clue of what was happening in the time of the psalmist. Look at verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. They were facing a great enemy. Remember, 185,000 of the Assyrians' mighty men, having known that they were just like treated everyone else like trash, trampled upon them, being surrounded by this mighty army. And God was present among them. They had God's protection in the first stanza. They are enjoying God's presence in the second stanza. And this protection, this presence is stated in the fact that God will help her when the morning dawns. That's beautiful. That means since God is with them, God's protection is there just when they need it. In the previous stanza, we hear of the waters roaring. But in verse 6, there's an even much, much greater roar. God's roar. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. Meaning every turmoil will stop. Every turmoil will stop. Friends, can you see the great faith of the psalmist here? Can you feel the growing faith that he has? What great faith, diba? What great trust. Now, you may be asking, how is this applicable to me? I'm not surrounded by an army. But we all have those times, diba? In fact, even before the corona struggle, some of us were already having struggles, having distress. Some of you are battling an illness. I'm struggling with asthma. Both my wife and I are asthmatic. That's a sobrang init. But some of you have your own physical infirmity. Some, you may have cancer. Perhaps. Maybe even kidney problems. Some may have hypertension. Some may have high cholesterol, sugar problems. Some may have epilepsy. Some of us may have problems and struggles with your marriage. Some are having problems with your kids. Some of you may be struggling with finances. And now this corona scare has robbed most of us of our security, hasn't it? Don't we feel surrounded? Diba, bakit tayo napapalibutan ng napakaraming pasakit? So let us be reminded, brethren, that not only is God our protection, He is very much present. He is present. Psalm 118, verse 5 to 6 tells us the same. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord has answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do to me. Paul says in Romans 8, starting in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, may na iwan baba, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we are faced with troubles, struggles, dilemmas, hardships, why would we not be shaken? Because God is in our midst. God is with us. And that is the truth that the Psalms declares as he closes the second stanza. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Yahweh Sabaoth Immanuel, the one who is Emmanuel, the God who is with us, is a mighty warrior king. It is great comfort that he is with us. It brings even greater comfort that he has a mighty army. A mighty army. And we see that musical martyr again. We see that pause. Kindly savor that truth, friends, in this stanza. Do we even realize that? That the moment we were saved by God's amazing grace through faith in Him alone, never was there a time that you were alone. He's always with you. And dear ones, since Yahweh Sabaoth, since God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? This is a beautiful song to be sang and to be played according to a distinct tune. And we were reminded of God's protection. That God is our refuge, therefore we should not fear. And we were reminded of God's presence. That God is with us, therefore we are not to be shaken. As we come to the last stanza, we are reminded of God's providence. That God is sovereign, therefore we are not to strive, but be still. Kindly look at verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. Notice the invitation of the psalmist, behold. And when you see that, it has a picture of put everything else down. Set aside what you're doing and behold the works of the Lord. And then he says, how he has brought desolations on the earth. And I think, knowing the context, this is pointing to when God has brought judgment to 185,000 Assyrians. How God fought for them. How God has brought desolations on the earth, on these men who were oppressing his people. This speaks of God's sovereign control, friends. Amidst the war that Israel was in, it was God, not man, who ends war. That is what we see in this verse. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He bursts the chariots with fire. The language there is saying, not only is God able to stop war? He can stop war. He also breaks things of the war. God is in control. God is in control. He is sovereign. Whatever is happening right now in your life, whatever is happening in the world, he either orchestrates it or he allows it. He is the one who sits on the throne. He is not caught by surprise. He is the one who has declared the end from the very beginning. He is the one who installs kings and authorities. He is the one who removes authorities. He calls the shots, friends. He is in control. As I was just pondering upon this word, I'm reminded, maybe you have heard this, of a story, not sure if this is true, but of one flight, and it was bad, and as they were going through, as they were airborne, and matagtag, there was great turbulence. So people were worrying because it was a violent shaking of the airplane. All were worried. All were fearful, except for one. And that was that's a little girl reading her book through this turbulence. She would often raise her head and look around and go back to reading as if nothing is happening. And in God's protection and in God's care, they were able to land in the airport in their destination. Then someone who was watching this little girl, a grown-up man, just couldn't contain the immense peace, the secret that this child had, that he needed to ask. And then he asked her, "Excuse me, little girl, were you not scared during the flight? It was a very rough flight." And then this little girl, in simplicity of words, uttered the most profound words that this man needed to hear. Why wouldn't I be why would I be scared? And then the man said, "So tell me why." "My dad's the pilot. I know he's in control." Wow. He is in control, friends. He calls the shots. And so whatever situation you're in right now, God is not surprised by that. Therefore, we can trust him. And that is the heart of verse 11, right? Verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. Other renderings say, "Stop striving, cease striving, and know that I am God." This is the response that God wants us to have during trials. This is the truth that we are to be reminded when trouble comes our way, to be still and know that I am God. Stop striving, relax. Don't panic, and know that I am God. Let me just share with you an observation. From verse 2 up to verse 9, the pronoun that was used to address God is he or him. Did you notice that? What do we see in verse 10? "Be still and know that I am God." Well, why is that? Why that sudden transition from he to I? That is to draw our attention. It's like your dad, when you were crying, when you were a little boy, when you were a little girl, and he would hold your face and have you look him in the eye and say, hey, I'm here. He is God, and we're not. And all the things that he does, even though we don't understand that, it says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That is to showcase his glory. I am God, and whatever it is that happens will be to declare my utmost glory. As I was studying on this, and I reached this point, I'm reminded of our situation, the global pandemic that has somehow gripped our hearts and robbed us of joy. That has personally scared me. That has personally made me cry, weep, as I was so scared for me and for my wife. That has caused my wife sleepless nights when I was still in the U.S. And as I ponder upon those doctors and nurses who die, those people who die alone, I began to reflect, how can this be for God's glory? How? And this led me to a beautiful song. Some of you who are friends with me on Facebook saw that we posted a link on that song. Kindly look at that. It's a very powerful, wonderful a song. And this was written by Laura Story. The lyrics and the melody was very good. But the story behind the song was all the more powerful. This was written as her husband contracted brain tumor. And up to now, he is still battling with brain tumor. And Laura shared that she spent many restless nights praying earnestly and intently and pouring her heart out, crying out for healing, praying that her husband will be restored to full health. But up to now, they are still battling this sickness. Let me read to you the lyrics of the song. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for us, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. And then the chorus goes, because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you're near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while you hear each desperate plea. And long that we'd have faith to believe. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds his heart that this is not our home. What if my greatest disappointments, or the aching of this life, is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest night, what you're going through, maybe even coronavirus, what if they are just mercies in disguise? What good can we see from all this? I mean, I miss all of you. It's difficult to accept that this might be the new normal for us in maybe prolonged situation. What good can there be? I don't know. I don't know God's providence. But I know personally, and you do too, that all of these has led me to understand more that my life is short. I'm not invincible. Did you notice the news? The strong people, the athletes, are not invisible. I mean, invincible. The well-off, the famous ones, the actors are not invincible. The powerful ones, leaders, heads of states, are not invincible. Where do you put your trust at? That we should not put our trust on people, but on God. I know that more people are in the Word right now. More people are praying right now. I know more people are considering reconciling with those they have disagreements with. It has caused the younger generation to think of eternity. It has made the older generation to long for eternity. I know for a fact that this might restore a broken marriage. It might bring a wayward child back home. It may lead you to see and think, as you were struggling with finances, that you mean God is all that we need. When trouble comes our way, and they would rest in this psalm. Invite someone, come on, let us sing the 46th psalm and be reminded that God is our refuge, we should not fear them. That God is with us, therefore we are not to be shaken. That God is sovereign, He is in control, therefore we are not to strive but to be still. And may I just appeal to those of you who are listening right now and may not be serious about your faith? Maybe this time you'll be serious. Because friends, there is a much, much bigger problem than the coronavirus. Scientists are working to find a vaccine for it. But sin is much, much bigger than any virus. It would cause eternal separation. It would cause eternal damnation. We see people dying from this virus, dying alone. What about spending eternity apart from God? Friends, if you're listening right now, I pray that by faith you would give your life to Jesus. I pray that by faith you would cry out for help. I pray that you would repent of your sins and seek Him while He still can be found. Because this merciful God, this gracious God, is a loving God who can give you protection, who can be with you, who can give you that confidence that everything is okay if you surrender to Him, if you put your trust in Him. As we end this wonderful, wonderful song, as we come to the last verse and the last musical marker, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let the truth in this beautiful song sink into your heart. Embrace your whole being. And let it give you confidence as you, me, and the rest of the world are going through some rough times. We have a very big God. A very big God. When trouble comes your way, open your Bible and say, let me sing to my heart now the 46th Psalm. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for teaching us today. I pray that you would indeed, Lord, give us that confidence that you are our protector, our refuge, especially when we cannot protect ourselves. Because in reality, Lord, there is no situation that we can ever protect ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We are reminded of how you have protected us from the wrath of your Father, by dying in our stead. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for living in us. Thank you that you are so near. Thank you that you are sovereign, that you're in control. Thank you that everything else bows down to your voice and to your will. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together, and we pray that this wonderful, wonderful section of scripture, this portion of passage, has indeed changed our lives very beautifully. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your spirit. We love you. In Christ, and we pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining our online preaching. Lord willing, we would be gathered together soon. Ingat po kayong lahat. God bless you and see you all next week. I love you, GCF East.